Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and now we are up to the second half of Pesuria Metzora, which, of course, is Parsha Metzora. Once again, the shiur is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala but Menachem Mendel, Meher Neshama Haven Aliyah. And we are getting closer and closer to Pesach, but that's not what I'm going to be speaking about primarily tonight. In fact, we'll be speaking about the concept of the Metzora, more specifically the purification ritual that he has to go through, which is spelled out in detail in this week's Parsha. And there are many things which either are familiar and occur elsewhere, or things that just seem downright peculiar, or things which require a lot more explanation, and some of which is easier to obtain than others. So we do see a familiar and yet peculiar ritual, and that's the act of placing blood and oil on the Metzora's Tenoch Ozen, which is his earlobe, Bohen Yado, which is his thumb, and Bohen Raglo, which is his large toe, all of which are on the right side. Now this ritual was performed by the Kohanim, and is now done as part of a Metzora's purification process. But it was also done by the inauguration of the Kohanim, right? So even though the Kohen here is applying it to the Metzora, it was also done to each of the Kohanim, at least certainly to Aaron a Kohen, during the inauguration of the Mishkan, which we just had as well. So why specifically these parts of the body, and what is the connection between the Metzora and the inauguration of the Kohanim? Why do they have pretty much the same procedure? So Rabbi Eliezer Lipa Weissblum, in his Sefer Perech Levanon, writes that these three parts of the body correspond to the three things that Pirkei Avot teaches that the world stands upon: Torah, Avodah, and Gibelut Chasadim, something which I do frequently speak about. Now the Kohanim are symbols to the rest of the people, and therefore have three inherent responsibilities, which are: A, to teach Bnei Israel Torah, B, to bring Karbanos on their behalf, and C, to teach the people about tzedakah and kindness, obviously something which was very much symbolized by Aaron himself. Now the ear, in this case the ear lobe, corresponds to Torah because it's one's duty to teach and to listen, and that's impossible without listening. It's also speaking, that gets to another question, but more important to listen than to speak in this case. The thumb corresponds to avoda because it is what maximizes the hand's functionality, and the large toe corresponds to walking to help someone in need, or in the case of Aaron a Kohen, to go and walk to seek out peace. Now, conversely, the Metzora is one who failed in learning these lessons. He did not follow the laws of the Torah. He worshipped himself rather than Hashem. He worshipped his ego. And he maligned others through evil speech rather than assisting them. This is in addition to going out of his way to disrupt peace. The application of oil and blood, which is a whole other symbolism, which I may or may not get to, is therefore placed upon the very same locations on the Kohanim as it is specifically a Kohen who places it upon him. All three of these body parts are only on the right side, which symbolizes strength, but also the mercy of Hashem. Now, the word for the right side is hayiminit, which is numerically equal to hayashar, correct, which is correct or straight, that which is correct, that which is straight. We want to imbue these ideas to the Metzora, that you want to focus on Hashem, that yes, Hashem is having mercy on you, right? That you didn't get, you know, killed or whatever. You had to go through this horrible, embarrassing ordeal, but now you can get out of it and you can learn your lesson. You can do teshuva and you can once again become yashar. You can become straight, right? Now, the Metzora is singled out primarily not for really his lack of obedience to God or even his arrogant sense of self, but rather the third one, which is the lack of sensitivity towards others. And that gets into a whole other thing about Gimur Chasadim being possibly equal to the other two and the Chokhan to the Sukkot. We're not getting into that right now, but it is something I've spoken about before. Now, the earlobe corresponds to the pillar of Torah, and it's therefore essential to anything else, for it is what instructs him how to act. And he should have heard what Hashem said in Har Sinai and what Moshe or other people taught him. Therefore, when symbolizing his thumb or his large toe, the ear also has to be involved. Now, the word ozen, meaning ear, and yad, hand, when they're combined, they equal 72, which, interestingly enough, corresponds to chesed, right? Combining the ear and the hand, meaning you hear instructions and you act accordingly. And if done in a proper manner, that can lead to chesed or helping other people who are in need. Now, if you mix ear and regel, right? So ozen and regel, right? Al Zayin Nun and Resh Gimel Lamed, ear and foot, when combined, that equals 291, which corresponds to Aretz, which means land, which either can symbolize worldly pursuits, which is certainly not something we want, but something that we obviously are part of, because many parts are completely permissible, and Hashem doesn't want us to be ascetic, so there definitely is, you know, worldly pursuits. But obviously, if somebody hears something and then runs to do something which is not good, then obviously that's not good. But it could also be derech eretz, common decency. One is always expected to teach others with derech eretz, right? You hear something, and you put it into action with your feet in a way that that's the way that you go. It becomes your derech. You learn something. It's instilled and it's imbued upon you. And you can emulate that Hashem. You can emulate that which it could be through chesed, it could be through teaching others, right? But the Metzora had so many possibilities to learn. He learned so many lessons from his elders, from whoever it was, but yet failed in this regard. He didn't follow Derech Eretz. He didn't follow chesed. He did the opposite. He maligned others. He treated others unfairly and poorly and looked down upon them. And he's therefore reminded, even though he's being purified for the Zavera, he still has to be reminded of what he's done and that it's not so easy for it to be undone. And he can do teshuva. But, you know, if you embarrass somebody in public, it's not something that you can ever take back, which is why it's kind of like Misa. It's kind of like death, because there's no real way of taking back. The person's going to always feel that pain, and there's no way to truly undo it. So even though a person may get healed from tzaraas and may be, for the most part, forgiven, if he hurts somebody through his words, they can create irreparable damage. And sometimes it can't completely be undone. And this has to be instilled in the person that there's going to be some lingering aspect of what he's done, possibly for generations, depending on what the slander was and how it affected. You know, so we never realize, you know, the effect that our words have. And obviously it's something that's being talked about, you know, very constantly with Parsha, Tizria, and Masora focus very much on our speech. Now, getting to the idea of the blood and the oil, I don't have a great handle on it, but oil is something which comes from exerting a little bit of effort, but not a lot of effort. This is something I spoke about once before when comparing the difference between oil and grape juice or wine. Wine, you have to like really put a lot of effort into it. You got to press them. You got to squeeze them out. You got to take out the sediment. Oil just kind of, once if the olives are very ripe, the oil starts just exuding from them themselves. They just start coming out. So you don't have a lot of effort to be put into that, but there's something that's rich with it. So the lesson, perhaps, by the Metzora when it comes to oil. Well, let's go back and explain first the Kohanim. By the Kohanim, part of the lesson of the oil was that they were chosen to be the purest of the pure, the best of, so to speak, the Jewish people. And it may seem easy, right? They were just born as Kohanim. But yet they have this amazing purity, which can be used to, you know, light up the world through in there. The oil can be illuminated. So there's something very, very simple about that. And it doesn't have to require a lot of effort to do or illuminate an entire amount. And the lesson perhaps to the Metzora is that the same way you can light up an entire room with one little drop of oil, so too you can damage somebody with one little drop of speech, right? And you want to rectify that just as he was able to create such an incredible amount of pain and terribleness with this one little drop that came out of his mouth with his speech, so too one little word of chesed, one little deed, whatever it might be, one little expression can really change someone's life for the better as well. And that's important. And blood, as we know, represents life and liveliness. And for the Kohanim, this was symbolic of their lives being dedicated solely for the purpose of Vodav of Hashem and serving on behalf of the Jewish people. In this particular case, perhaps it's reminding the Metzora of the specialness of life and the sanctity of life, which he didn't take into consideration when he just cast somebody aside by spurning them with his words. But yeah, it's a reminder when it's combined with the oil. Words can come out so easily like oil, and sometimes you might not take care of them, but your words have life to them. Your words have life to them, just like your blood has life. Your words are like shemen. It's coming out of this olive, so to speak, with your body. It can just come out so easily. It can just drip out, and you might not pay attention to what words come out of your mouth, but it has life. It has sanctity. It has kedusha. And if you use it improperly, it's incredibly damaging. And you can destroy life with it. But if not, it can be a beautiful thing. And it can instill life. And then, just like the Kohanim, can illuminate the world and make the life and the world a better place. Shabbat Shalom.